And I have to leave right after this, so I'm sorry. I wish I could stay. I have a little over 2 years sober. I don't say that to be boastful. I say it because I'm grateful. I started using at a really young age. I started using about 12. And it started with alcohol and then turned into any other form I could. I always felt a little bit off. I grew up in kind of a broken home, and my mom was an alcoholic, and my dad was a very strict LDS growing up here in Utah, you guys may understand. And so it was kind of a confusing life to have one parent one way and then another the other. And so I started from a young age learning to live a double life. I struggled with an eating disorder growing up, and drugs and alcohol and men were probably my biggest problems. And I graduated about 16. My parents told me if I graduated early, I could move out with a boyfriend. So I took as much Adderall as possible and graduated. You know, anything I could do to get out and start partying, right? Didn't turn out that fun. I ended up on the streets by 17, and methamphetamine took me down. I had nowhere to go. I was lying and cheating and stealing constantly. We used to, you know, get into cars at night, go pawn stuff, steal from stores, sell it, do whatever we could to get by and get high. And my car, we were living out of my car, and it was completely broken. Axles went out, like, tires kept blowing. I think at the end I had, like, 3 donuts that I ended up stealing out of other cars. And I just fucked my car up. Like, I mean, different donuts from different cars, definitely it's going to do some damage. And just to paint the picture, you know, me and my ex-boyfriend would be living in this car, and there'd be tinfoil everywhere, and, you know, drugs everywhere, and clothes that we've worn for weeks. You know, we'd probably get a shower about once a week or once every 2 weeks, because we'd go to family's houses and pretend that we're doing so great. You know, I threw away dance, I threw away scholarships, I threw away everything. And I went for about 2 years before I finally called someone and said that I needed help. And I was lucky because I grew up in AA. My mom drank until I was about 10, and then she got sober at the Alano Club. So I knew a little bit about AA. I knew that it saved my mom's life. You know, it gave me my mom back. So I knew that I could call her and she would understand and not shame me. So I called my mom. I was just turned 18, and I called my mom and I told her I was desperate. I was moved up to Wyoming to try to get sober. You know, it doesn't matter where you go, you're going to use, even if it's the middle of nowhere. I called her and I said, Mom, I'm ready to come home. I'm ready to get sober. And she offered to come get me from Wyoming. She offered to buy me bus passes. And I insisted to drive home in my shitty car, which I ended up not doing because it was too scary to leave him and leave the drugs. We finally got back to Utah probably about a month later, and he left in the middle of the night and got into some cop cars and stole a cop car and a couple rifles. We were so twacked that it was like, you know, he thought someone was coming after him, and he just was gone. And he was willing to do whatever it took, which I related with. And he didn't show up in the morning, and he didn't show up the next day, and I did all the drugs I could, all that we had, and I had a moment looking in the mirror of my car, and I just saw my face sunken in. I'm 86 pounds, I'm 18 years old, and I threw away a scholarship, I threw away my family, I threw away everything, and I didn't know who I was. I never really knew who I was, but at that point, I really didn't know who I was. And I remember feeling dark and evil, you know, just gone. And so I called my mom from a gas station, and she came and picked me up. She told me that she had a sponsee that relapsed, but she has a place that I could stay with her, and she just drank, and I was like, well, I don't have a problem with alcohol, so I'm fine. It'll help me get sober. So I moved up to Murray and lived with this girl, and the first night was really awkward because I didn't know this chick, you know, and I was detoxing. And then the next morning, I probably like came out of my room like 5 a.m. and I figured she'd be asleep. Instead, she was just drinking, watching TV. So I was like, sweet, best way to get to know someone, get wasted with them. So I drank instead of detoxing, instead of getting sober. It turned into an all day, all night thing. Even though before I could drink a beer just to come down and be fine, since I didn't have anything and I wasn't okay with being me, I decided to drink. And it did. It turned into all day and all night for about 2 months. I drank like that. And I had a storage unit with all my stuff in it that my mom bought, and she asked me to go clean it out because she couldn't afford to pay my rent and my storage unit. So I went to go clean out my storage unit, and I had drank before, drove down to Lehigh where my storage unit was, and started to clean it out. And I had these magazines that were like perfectly folded like this with like tin foil and black shit on top of it because it's just so old. And my thinking then was to save it so that later I'd come back if I ever really needed something, I could get into my storage unit, right? And that was really hard, cleaning that up. I was like, I'm not going to use. Like, I've been sober for this long. I'm not going to use. So I threw it away, and I started cleaning out some other things, and I found this big book that my mom gave me probably when I was, like, 14, when I was trying to get sober before. And I opened it up, and I found my grandpa gave me this little, like those cards from Genesis, you know? And it had the acceptance prayer on it. And I don't know if anyone's heard it, but I'm going to read it. Oh, wait. I don't have stories in this one. Never mind. There we go. Should have remembered that. It had this in there. And acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of life unacceptable to me. I can find no serenity until I accept the person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it's supposed to be. At this moment, nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. Until I could accept my alcoholism, I could not stay sober. Unless I accept my life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as on what needs to be changed in me and my attitudes. And my grandpa was an alcoholic and relapsed and shot himself the same night that he relapsed. So I always kept that little card, and all of a sudden just it hit me. I am an alcoholic. I can't drink normally, I can't use normally, I can't sleep with men normally, I can't cheat normally, I can't steal normally. I'm an alcoholic. And it hit me. And I realized that it didn't matter what my circumstances were. It didn't matter whether I was living in Wyoming, living at a girl's house that my mom was paying rent for, whether I was in my car, whatever it was, I would use. And it hit me right then that I was an alcoholic and that I could do this. I was lucky. I was given a lot of willingness to do it this time. And after I cleaned out my storage unit, I went home and found the first meeting I could at the Alano Club, walked over there and sat on my hands and detoxed. And, you know, I am so grateful for that desperation that I was given. You know, I didn't have to do treatment, and I'm lucky that I didn't have to. You know, some people do, some people don't. I'm one that stands up for that because I've heard a lot of people say, well, you probably need treatment, that's why. Clean time and sticking with the sponsor and staying in meetings will do it too. I grabbed a sponsor as soon as possible. I started working the steps like crazy. I found women that were walking the walk and talking the talk. I got a little bit into the candlelight scene, but I knew that, you know, it wasn't getting into the in crowd. It was getting in with the real people. And I was lucky to do that. I worked my steps and they changed my life completely. Finding God was really scary in step three, but beautiful. I remember being terrified to do this step because I didn't even know how to find myself or who I was. So how was I supposed to find God? And when I did, how beautiful it was. And then four and five, learning my part in situations. When before it was, you know, I'm the victim, everyone's doing it to me. And finding out that I have a part too, you know. My dad wasn't just a dick to be a dick. He was a dick because I was a crazy child. I mean, I started at 12 sneaking out of the house and doing crazy shit. Of course he's gonna lock me down, duh. You know, like all those just stupid, simple things that would have built, built huge resentments over and over and over. That stuff was so amazing. And getting it out and trusting another woman is crazy. I know the men probably can relate with that too. It was always easier to be with women than it was to be real with a man or to be real with anyone. And having that experience was so beautiful. 8 and 9, I'd say, were my favorite steps because I was able to make right those wrongs. And I remember being terrified of doing it. When I made my amends with my dad, I was so... Part of my resentment started to come up a little bit, and I was like, I don't know if I can do this. I hate him. I don't know if I can do this. And sitting in the car and making my amends and bawling my eyes out, and my dad bawling his eyes out and saying, sweetie, I'm sorry. I didn't know how to be a dad. You were my first child, and I didn't know what I was doing, and I was just so scared. You know, to hear that, oh, so beautiful. I have amazing relationships today because of those steps. Step 11 and step 12, being able to, on a daily basis, take care of myself and to take care of other women, to be there for other women. Being able to put my hand out and go, sweetie, it's going to be okay. I've been through it too. It's not even that bad. You want to hear my story? Like, we got this. Trust me. You know, and people trust me now. Like, they're not scared to have me alone with their kids or alone with their husband. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a good girl now, which is amazing. I had one of my bosses say, I was working as a housekeeper, and it was just the first job I could get without them checking my background. And they were like, why are you in this position? You're such a trusting and caring and hardworking person. And I was like, me? Do you know who I am? But that's the cool things we get from sobriety, you know. I have an apartment now. I have a little dog to take care of. I have a job. I have amazing, amazing friendships in these rooms. I've been with the same guy for 2 years and I haven't cheated once. That's pretty cool. That's not stuff I'm used to. When I do something wrong, I apologize right away, you know. This program is so beautiful and I'm so grateful for it. I'm grateful for the opportunity that I had to come to these rooms and you guys to put your hands out. And, you know, for my mom taking me to meetings so I knew where to go. Whenever I see kids in the meetings, I always think what it was like for me, because I was able to know, I knew where to come because they, you know, that's what saved my mom. I'm just so grateful for these rooms and thanks so much for letting me speak. Thanks.